So if you go too overboard, you can become selfish. Not chashon, like they weren't being selfish. I don't know, nowadays it's just, I don't know, maybe you don't have that. It's like everybody's scared. Like you're scared. You'd rather just write out a check and send it in the mail. You don't want to see the guy. And it's not good. It's not good to have stucco and so impersonal. It's not such a good thing. I admire greatly. There's many people in the shul even that I know that mamash have rooms for guests. Like the miyachid, they have room in their houses and they have room and they say, you know, this will be for guests. It's wonderful. Anyway, getting back to this, I'm talking about children, and really, it's, you look at the Chayvus HaLvavos, it doesn't look like he's saying much. Then all of a sudden you think, wow, he's saying a mouthful. Think of kids. And, sometimes we're not successful with our kids. I'm not talking about anybody in this room. That's not you. You say, but maybe you did make the wrong choices. Possible, I always say that you find out after 120 years when you're standing in front of Hashem. You have to do your best, and you think you're making the right choices. But the point is, if you make the right choices, or you think you made the right choices, you did your best, and you did the plan, right, the second stage. Don't ever berate yourself if it didn't work out. That's like getting to the hospital and the person checked out already. You wanted to lend someone money, and by the time you got to him, he borrowed the money from someone else. So you get your schar, you did not waste your time, no such thing. It is true that if you did become the vehicle through which, if Hashem did make it happen, if it materialized, that's stage three, that's a tremendous chiddush. It wasn't you, it was Hashem. Hashem gives you schar. Because Hashem, it means Hashem is looking at you favorably, that he made you the vehicle to carry out his will and have this good thing happen. So you get schar for it. And it's the same with Navera. He says,
So how do we know when we're in the Hishtadlut lane that we're carrying out Hashem's will? And it doesn't... Well,
you're talking about if the choice is clear and you're struggling with the Yetzirah?
We do our Hishtadlut, we try, we're davening for clarity, but sometimes it's not clear.
Wait, I'm still not sure what you're asking. You could mean one of two things. You could mean, it doesn't matter what you mean. There's two areas that are very difficult. And that is, one is, and you might have meant this, how do I know that I'm doing my best? That might be one thing. We try and we pray that we are. But sometimes the choices are not so clear. So that's, you have to, I want to find the words in the Chavis HaLodos. He says you have to daven. You have to daven to Hashem for clarity. When the choice is not... See, he's talking about when the choice is clear, when you're struggling with the Yetzirah. When you don't know...
Mitzvahs are clear. It's clear when we're doing the right thing, we make the right choice.
It's not always... But we have to struggle. We have to struggle with our Yetziraras very often. It's true that many times the choice is not so clear, and we're not sure what the right thing to do is. Mm-hmm. Then the only thing you can do is really, A, daven for clarity, and B, ask your mentor, whoever that happens to be. Talk to the, talk to the rabbi. Who does the rabbi talk to? The rabbi talks to his wife. So you might as well go straight to my wife. Cut out the middleman. Yeah. When you're doing your best.
How do you know if you're doing your best? You can always expect that you'll do more. You can always say, how do you know that you're doing your best?
You don't have to know. You have to feel that you're doing your best. And remember that in a year from now, your best will indeed be better. But that doesn't mean that today you aren't doing your best. A person grows. A person gets better. So you push the envelope. You do your utmost. And you fall, and you try, and you struggle, And it's really a hergish. A person has to be introspective. There's no escaping that. And maybe we're not introspective enough. We always have music blaring, and we always have noise, and a person should make time to be alone with their thoughts, really, and be a little, be introspective, and, but you can't go crazy. See, there's a danger. You can't torture yourself with the thought that don't torture yourself. If the word tortured would apply, you've went too far. Don't torture yourself. You do your best, and it shouldn't affect, you know what I'll say? It should not affect, a person should go through life happy, cheerful, joyous, and confident. And if a nervousness that maybe I'm doing something wrong, if it makes you depressed or slows you down, or makes a person short-tempered, or like, then there's something wrong. Then you notice something wrong. You're supposed to do your best, with a smile, So my aitza is take some time during the day to be introspective. There doesn't have to be music going every minute of the day. I say music because I know as a reaction we come into the house, we go in the car, you turn on the radio, you turn on the tape recorder. And I think I've said this before, people are afraid to be alone with their thoughts. Because they're scared. I don't blame them. I don't know about me. But you really have to. And you have to come to grips with yourself. But then I'm groping. There's no words to really describe exactly, objectively, words that will match every person. So I'm really giving you simonim. I'm saying, first of all, spend some time with yourself and your thoughts. With silence. Sometimes you wake up 3 in the morning and there's no kids crying. That's a good time. Instead of opening a paper or looking at some junk mail, saying, where am I going? What am I doing? How do I deal with this situation? But if you find that if you find that it affects a cheerfulness, an optimistic attitude, then you went overboard. Then you shouldn't. That's a simon. I mean, it's only a simon. You went overboard because it shouldn't. Because that's if du es Hashem b'simcha. That's mitzvah lios b'simcha. Even though that's not a statement of Chazal, but it's certainly true. It should be b'simcha. And if you find that those thoughts are pulling you down, then you went overboard. So you do your best. And Chayim HaLovas, it's interesting. Chayim HaLovas doesn't Chayim HaLovas talk about it? All he says is Daven Tashem. If you're not sure which is the right path, Daven Tashem. He didn't hold the basking the rod. He writes in his Hagdama, this is not a good thing to say. I always get into trouble when I say this. So I'll say it again, that he in his Hagdama, he doesn't like the institution of a Rav. He feels people should have the capabilities of figuring things out for themselves. If they can't, he himself says, if they can't, so you have a mentor, you have a Rav. Now, in Hilchos Shabbos, so everybody can say, so I'll ask a Rav, So it's true in life also. If you feel you can't, there's nothing, you have to ask a Rav. You have to, I'll use the word mentor. You have to ask someone that is wiser, is older, has more experience, is objective. That's the main thing, and has no agenda. You have to make sure there's no agenda, and they're objective, and they have experience. And it helps if they're a shtickle smart also. But really, because Chazal says, daven for clarity. My experience in life is that 50% of the things people ask, they can really figure out for themselves. 50%. I would peg it at 50%. Because people come to me with chattels. I mean, I get questions all the time. I'd say 50%. I should really turn to them and say, come on. So what I try to do when people ask me questions is I try to just restate what they told me, and then they go, oh, yeah, well, okay. I'm not Chas V'Shalom putting down anybody to ask a shayla. You know, if you don't ask a shayla, I'm out of business. I lost my job, you know. So please continue to ask shaylas, or I'm out of the, I'll have to look for something else to do. I'll go looking for food on Hanukkah. I'll have people say, don't let them in, don't let them in. okay, you know. I don't know. I see in the world today, in the Jewish Orthodox world, my observation is that I'd say around 50% of the Orthodox Jewish world doesn't ask enough shaylos. 50% asks too much. And they should figure things out for themselves a little more. Okay. Why am I saying this? Because Chodesh Halvada says daven for clarity. When you're faced with that situation. It's true, if you still don't have clarity and it's not coming, so you should definitely ask a shayla. The answer might be that they're both right. You know, many times, there's a big... I once saw something from Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, which was a tremendous insight, and it helped me personally tremendously. If you're faced with a situation where there's two things to do and they're both right, right? He says that you're sowed, a person has to work on their midos. You should pick the one that's shviras hamidos. But sometimes someone will come to me and say, like, should I learn this extra half hour, or should I, or should I do chesed? You know. So if there's no clear answer, you know, so it really depends. Sometimes a person's avoda is in the area of hasmada, is in the area of Talmud Torah, and therefore he should dafka do that. To conquer that Yetzirah, to conquer that Midah. And if I would feel he's a little selfish and he's a little self-centered and he has an ego problem, I would tell him to do the Chesed. When there's two ways, Rabbi Yerucham says, you should pick the one that you have to work on, the one that's going to make you a better person in the totality of your being. You're going to work on your Midos. So sometimes that's the answer, and sometimes a mentor will point that out, or sometimes I'm telling it to you now. Sometimes you may use it to help you. If you really, really feel that they're both correct, they're both appropriate to do, they're both Ratzon Hashem, and you just can't pick one, listen to this yesod. It's a tremendous yesod. Take the one of most resistance, the one that's going to help mold your character, because everyone has different issues. This person has an issue of laziness, this person has an issue of selfishness, this person has an issue of gaiva. We all know our weaknesses, and the one that's going to exercise that weakness, that muscle, that's the one you should bedafka take. And this Rayus from a Gemara, like he builds it up really as a very lomdish psak. So that may be helpful. That may be helpful to you. But again, sometimes we don't know. Sometimes sometimes one's right and one's not so right. So you have to daven for, you figure it out for yourself, or you daven for clarity, or you ask a shayla, or if you're convinced that they're both right, this is a good rule of thumb. This yisod of Rabbi Yerucham, we'll call it. Yeah.
Isn't there anything that you're destiny, like?
That's what we're learning. Because the Buddha says, no, no, no.
Let's say you're trying to pick a school for your kid, let's say.
What?
Let's say you're trying to pick a school for your child. And you're going to do your research, whatever you're going to do yourself. But isn't it a little bit to do...
No, so you make your choice. No, that's number three. And you daven to Hashem that number three materializes. That he grows up the way you want him to be. you want a certain path for a person wants a certain path for a child, so they have to do their reason. So you do number one is you make a choice. Do I want to send them to such a school or such a school? That's number one. Stage two is I do my research. Is it a good school? Which is a better school? This school gives them this. This school gives them that. You weigh the pros and the cons. That's stage two. Stage two, in this case, would be doing all the research. And you send them. And then stage three is up to Hashem. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the destiny is different than you planned. So that's number three. That's never up to you. You can send your kid to the most black-hatted this, you know, and all, or vice versa. It goes both ways.
Doesn't Hashem already have something in mind for that?
Yeah, that's why number three is not up to you. That's Levi Tolbovitz's point. That's why number three, you taka, have nothing to do with. And therefore, don't feel so good if it turns out great, and don't get depressed if it doesn't turn out good. It's up to Hashem. Stage three is up to Hashem. That's a tremendous thing he's saying. That's why he davened to Hashem that he should be saying the truth. He says, in the first two things, don't even think about bitachon. And the third thing, it's purely Hashem.
Will he influence you?
If Hashem wants the third stage to materialize, if he wants a certain, he certainly will. Uh-huh. If he wants a certain result, so that's Hashem. You know, he will influence you. We find throughout Tanakh, he influences people to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. That's when the doors are open or the doors are closed. In this case, a child is accepted into yeshiva, the door is left open. So, in theory, you're saying that Hashem wants him to go. That's up to Hashem. Hashem left that door open. Let's assume that he's going to now be Masliach. We doubt that he's going to be Masliach. But the door would have been closed.
I'm not sure what you mean by door open.
If the child couldn't get into the school.
Yeah, people go... Yeah, it happens all the time. People go nuts and this, and then the
right. The
so you have to be able, after you've tried, and the door closes, you say that's not in Hashem's plan. That's Chavis Alvavus. That's all. Stage three is not up to me. So you can't go crazy over it. I mean, and people do. People like go bonkers over it. They feel that their world has collapsed, and that's why we're in Chavis Alvavus. Chavis says no. Number three is up to Hashem. Except in Israel, you try a little protection. That's still that's still established. It's part of the culture. So.
How can he say that it's up to Hashem in the last stage, but is he, doesn't he decide whether maybe we're worthy or not worthy?
Yeah, that very well put. And that's why the Chavis Alvavus says when it does happen, even though it was totally up to Hashem, you still get rewarded. Because he's making a statement that you were worthy of this good thing to come about through you, and now you're worthy of a reward. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense that you get rewarded, because it was totally up to him. Right? I can do my best to go to, you know, to go somewhere and learn, you know, and then I get there and, you know, I don't know, the door's locked or the air conditioner's broken. And I can't, you know, so I have to be worthy, right? That's many of our tefillos, which seem to be asking Hashem that we should do the right thing, which, according to the Chavis Alvavus, like, what am I asking Hashem? He deals with that. We really didn't learn that yet. Right? What does it mean? Hashiveinu avinu sorosecha, v'karveinu malkeinu lavodosecha. Like, well, what are we asking him? That's up to us. The Chavis Alvavus says, you're not allowed to, no bitachon. I don't want to hear no bitachon talk out of you. Number one and number two is up to you. He says we ask Hashem to keep away obstacles from us, at least, you know, keep away the obstacles, I should this, or we demand Hashem to give us clarity, because sometimes we can confuse good with evil and evil with good. That happens too. Or we could be asking Hashem to allow the result to happen. We can ask Hashem to let us be the instruments through which good things happen, right? Let us have the schus that a good thing will happen in the world and it will be thanks to me. I brought it about. And so to speak, I was the instrument through which it happened. Okay, so this is heavy stuff. Now we could appreciate now why before he got into this topic, he wrote two lines of tefillah to Hashem that he should be saying what's true. He shouldn't be making a mistake. It's a remarkable thing to write in the middle of a sefer. You don't find that so much. That in the middle of the sefer, the mechaber writes, "Please, Hashem, let what I'm about to say be true." Okay. So he says, "Okay, the paragraph." He says, the reason this is so, it's good, let me speak this out, Baal Peh. He says, the reason we have this difference between in Yonei Olam Hazeh, where we just go through the motions, but we're supposed to have bitachon, really, and Hashem's running everything. And when it comes to mitzvahs and good deeds, that we're not allowed to have bitachon, but we have to make choices for ourselves and plan and do the, you know. He says, because Hashem says in the Torah that we have to make the proper choices. So when it comes to parnasa and even health, okay, this is in general, he means. He's not talking about that you cross a busy highway with your eyes closed. When it comes to parnasa and to health, he says it's not clear what's Ratzon Hashem, what's not Ratzon Hashem. I don't know if it's Ratzon Hashem for me to become a computer programmer or for me to become a dentist. He says it's no. So therefore, it's completely up to Hashem. And I just like throw myself into Hashem's hands, and I go through the motions of Ishtadlus. I choose something based on my affinity for it. Right? Chavir Bavis himself gave us rules how to choose a profession. Something you're cut out to do, something that you like, job satisfaction. And then it's like up to Hashem, totally. So, because there's no clear Ratzon Hashem. So it is up to Hashem. And we don't know, we can't choose to do the Ratzon Hashem. So even this is not absolute, because sometimes someone will come to me and say, you know, should I take this job in which I have to travel for 2 hours, right? So I'm spending 2 hours traveling, but I have more job satisfaction in it, and it gives me a slightly higher salary, so it makes things more calm in my household. Or should I take the other job? I'm thinking about, let's say a man asks me this. Well, I'll have more time to learn because I cut down on traveling time, but there'll be a bit more tension in my household because it earns less money and there's not so much job satisfaction. I mean, the shaylos come up all the time. So again, you know, so the Chavis HaLavis doesn't help there, right? Because he's talking about, what would the Chavis HaLavis say? He would say, well, I think he would include that, and there's no clear way. There's no clear Ratzon Hashem there. Because you don't know what Ratzon Hashem is there. I think that's included in what he said. So what should you do in that case? So you could either just make a decision, and daven to Hashem, it should be the right one. Or you can go to your mentor and, you know, just talk things over and see what's the more logical thing to do. You wanna, what would I say to the guy? I made up the story. Because the Chavis HaLavis says job satisfaction is a major thing. He says that's how you should pick a profession, through job satisfaction. The money, I say no. If the other one earns you enough to live on, the Chavis HaLavis says anything above poverty level, I don't know, poverty level is not the right word, anything above your basic sustenance level, you're wasting your time. It's all up to Hashem. So that should not be a factor. Well, let's take this as a theoretical shayla. I would say forget the money. Once you earn enough to live on in the place that's closer, that's what you should take. What do you have to travel for to earn more money for? The more money is up to Hashem. He's going to decide that anyway. But the job satisfaction should be the factor. Why do I say that? Because the Chavis HaLavis is a Rishon. And he is a Rishon, a very early Rishon, and he wrote the Chavis HaLavis, and he wrote the job satisfaction. He writes, you have this inner affinity to something, and that's Hashem's way of telling you what you should do with your life. Something. So if you have to travel for 2 hours, you have to travel for 2 hours, that's all. Then I say, you know, it's not either or, you could take tapes. and listen to Torah tapes while you're traveling, right? It's not an either-or situation. So, okay, so, but that's what he says. So when it comes to those things, it's really up to Hashem, and Hashem's going to guide you, and, you know, but when it comes to mitzvahs, he says, Hashem told you what to do, b'charta b'chayim, you know what's right and what's wrong. So again, we talked about it. So again, let's just to clarify. When it's a gray area, the Chavis HaLova says, daven to Hashem to give you clarity. Sometimes, indeed, you should really talk it over with a mentor. Ultimately, you could choose, if you feel comfortable that they're both equally valid choices, so maybe you should use the Rabbi Yeruchim Yesod to pick, right? And otherwise, you just pick. And Hashem will put into your head one way, because He wants a certain result. So He will guide you. And you see the world works out, people. Right? People, and what does the Gemara in Kiddushin say? The world has enough, I'm paraphrasing now, the world has enough shoemakers, the world has enough blacksmiths, the world has enough, you see, Hashem, the Gemara says Hashem maneuvers people's minds so that, you know, that there's no shortages. There's enough doctors, and if there's not enough doctors, so then, you know, that's filled up. And there's enough. Hashem makes sure that the world runs properly. Okay. So, let's see, how do we... He says, daven to Hashem, you should daven to Abulma, Shetzorech, Sheniftach, Olavbo, to let the third thing happen, that you should become the instrument that good things happen. So then you should daven to Hashem that that should happen. And then he quotes many, many psukim and tillim, which seemingly, see, that's his basic mahalach for all of those psukim and tillim and in davening, where we seemingly are asking Hashem to make our bechira for us, which he says is a no-no. You can't say, you know, Hashem, let me do the right thing. No. Keep Hashem out of that. I, all of these psukim and tillim, like, tens of psukim, scores of psukim, hundreds of psukim. So he says, that David HaMelech was being mispalel to Hashem, to let stage three happen through me. Let me be the instrument. Let it work. That's what he's davening. That, you're davening. It's not up to you. Let my kid, taka be matzliach. Let me, taka, be able to lend him the money. Let me, taka, be able to be mevaker chole. The bus shouldn't break down. They should let me in. It should be visiting hours when I get there. Let me indeed accomplish. That's what all of these psukim are. Hadecheni ba'amitecha v'lamdeni. V'yomer hadecheni b'nesiv mitzvosecha. Derech emunah v'chorti. So I picked all these things, but let it happen. That's what we learned. V'chol zeh moreh shekvar hoysu b'chiroso esmasei hamishmas. He says the implication in the psukim is that the person, David HaMelech, made the choice already. Elashu mispala lefnei Hashem b'shnei dvarim. Oh, he's davening for two things. One is that tohar libo ve'imutz b'chiroso v'mishmas b'shlilas terdos olam hazeh milibo, not to let obstacles be in his way. Right? There's a lot of things out there that I make a choice to do the right thing. Then there's a lot of things that could intrude on that choice and pull me away. And I ask Hashem, please don't send me a nisayon, don't send me obstacles, don't send me things that are going to try to lure me away. That's one mahalach in the tfilos. And the second thing is to allow stage three to happen. V'hasheni is chizuk evorav l'hafala sasiyo b'mishmato. Let it happen. Let me be the instrument for the good things to happen. For the good things meaning the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, so he quotes a bunch of psukim. Let's learn a little the next paragraph, ready? Let's move on. Maybe we'll stop here. Any questions? We'll take questions now, and we'll start next. Next Sunday we'll have to see about. Can we leave it open next Sunday and we'll see? Okay. Because I have to see what other obligations I have. Things might come up, I don't know. So we'll start from Avulbir HaKhelek HaChamishi. I don't know if you have it right. In other words, he talked about Bitochen and Eshtadlus in basic substance. He talked about it in having more money than you need. He talked about it in relationships, all different types of relationships he covered. And now the fourth area of Bitochen Hishtadlus was in the area of Mitzvahs and Averus, which did not concern another person. They were private, Chovos Halvavos, or they were things like sitting in a sukkah, or davening, things that don't involve another person. In the Chelek HaChamishi, which we'll start next time, Belineda, he talks about mitzvahs, but mitzvahs which involve another person. And you'll see this slightly, it's slightly more complex once you're involved with another person. Okay, so we'll start from the mitzvah next time. Okay, now, any questions?
Would you have a chance to speak a little bit what you spoke about on your shir on your Dvar Torah on Saturday at the shul?
I thought.
But I'm saying there's some. I spoke to some women that maybe would like to hear just a little bit about it.
It's not really fair.
Okay.
Because